They move down an alley towards the shrouded body on the wet, filthy pavement as Constable Dolan began her rundown.
Caucasian female, early 20s.
One of the dead woman's hands had escaped its covering, the fingers pale and slender, and Baxter felt an uncomfortable tug of familiarity as Dolan continued.
Blunt force trauma to the head.
More grateful than ever for the numbing effect of the heroin in her veins, Baxter lifted the sheet, but some long-gone emotion must have crossed her face because both Mason and Dolan were staring at her now with undisguised curiosity.
You know her, boss?
Baxter nodded, feeling only the sting of rain on her cheeks.
She's my daughter.
We'll be heading into this grand-looking log cabin here, with the colourful flags up on the roof. Come along through these vermilion iron-wrought doors and settle in. Isn't the crackling fireplace just so cosy? We're standing in the lobby of the largest log building in the entire world. The gabled beams and trusses lining the ceiling match the ones we saw outside, decorating the exterior railings and windows. Four balconies frame the floor-to-ceiling stone fireplace. Back in the day, live musicians used to play up in the crow's nest on the third floor.
Nightstalker reared in terror, sending Ariadne tumbling into the sharp gravel as the dragon swooped from the burning sky and landed on the edge of the cliff. Its claws scraped across the ground as it crawled slowly towards her, its hot breath burning her skin. As her terrified steed escaped into the thicket of woodland behind her, Ariadne reached for the mother-of-pearl dagger Greyleaf had given her as a parting gift. She knew it was useless against the might of this beast, but if she was destined to meet the gods today, she would at least impress them by fighting for her last breath. Tilly began to climb down the gnarled rope ladder, the little leprechaun looking dolefully after her underneath his too big green hat.
"But I wanted to take you to visit me rainbow," he said.
"Tomorrow," Tilly promised as she jumped to the ground and smiled up at him. "I'll even bring some of those jammy biscuits you like for the journey."
Alfie brightened.
"You're not too bad for a silly girl," he said.
Evie's head whipped in my direction, and she narrowed her eyes.
"Yes, fine."
She wrenched her elbow away.
"I was on my way to meet a friend for her bachelorette party."
Evie pivoted to Jared and wrapped an arm around his neck, tracing the lines of his chest with the other hand.
"Did you want to join us? I'm sure you'd be a welcome addition."
I gagged at her suggestive tone.
"Sorry, Evie."
I stared daggers at her makeup-caked face.
"But Jared and I have plans."
I cut him a glare, grasping his bicep.
"Right."
Jared unwrapped my hand from his arm. "If you give me your number, Evie, maybe we could get together another time. My contract with Molly ends on Thursday."
"Was he freaking kidding me?"
Red filled my vision.
"What was his problem?"
Clara stood at the threshold, her heart heavy with memories and regrets. "It's a mess," she murmured, stepping onto the overgrown path. The vibrant blooms she remembered were nowhere to be seen, replaced by a chaotic sprawl of green.
"Clara, is that you?"
a voice called from behind. She turned to see Mrs. Thompson, her neighbour from across the street, approaching with a hesitant smile.
"I heard you were back. Thought I'd come see if you needed any help."
Mrs. Thompson's eyes scanned the garden.
"Your grandmother would be heartbroken seeing this."
Clara felt a pang of guilt.
"I know. I should have come back sooner."